So here's my dilemma.
Okay.
So my wife and I recently started a show together.
Okay. TV show.
Yeah, TV show.
Yeah.
Normally, I don't watch a lot of TV shows. Okay. But this time, I was like, all right, yeah, let's start a TV show. We start it. We make it about a season and a half. No, two seasons in.
Okay.
It's eight seasons. And
there's eight seasons?
There's eight seasons. My dilemma is she fell off.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Dan.
And you're listening to Conversations in Community, where we talk about the dilemmas of life,
the ups and downs of living in community,
and hear stories from real people.
My dilemma is she fell off. She lost interest.
Oh, so now.
So am I off the hook where now I can watch it without her? Or let's say she didn't fall off. Like, you know, would I have to wait and would she have to wait to watch the show? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, do we have to watch it together or can we go separate, watch it on our own time?
Yeah.
But since we started it together, do we have to finish?
That's a great question. I mean, it all comes down to what are the consequences of, moving forward without her?
Yeah, I guess I weigh it on the rewards too, and I can't think of one reward of going on without her. But so if she falls off though, she's told me, she's like, I'm not really interested in the show anymore.
And then she's just now ruined the show for you because she won't keep watching.
Yes, yes. So now do I just watch it, enjoying it, and being like, man, I started this with my wife. And
I
now
think
I don't
you kind of
got to
tell her you got to come along with me.
Okay.
I mean, especially if you've come along with her, right? Because have there been shows where you've said, "Okay, I don't like this, but I'm gonna take one for the team here. I'm gonna keep watching."
I have a hot take with that, but yes, yes, and it was Ted Lasso.
Oh,
it was Ted Lasso. Yeah,
interesting.
I was not. I mean, it was a good show, but she was way more into it than I was.
Oh,
yeah. But
wait, look, can I stop one
second? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she wants to watch Ted Lasso, and you want to watch Dexter. That's
could
a whole conversation
could not
right
be
there.
Be more opposite. You're absolutely right.
I think
right,
I'm going to have to side with her on this one. Sorry.
Well, okay. She's done it before, though, where we've started a show.
Uh-huh.
She got hooked, and then I leave for work.
Oh.
And she just binges it. And I come home, and she goes, so here's the thing.
And she's got a guilty look on her face.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, you just watched the whole show, didn't you? She's like, I couldn't stop.
Oh, no.
So she's done it to me before, but what would you do? Have you had this dilemma?
That's a good question. You know, my wife and I tend to watch, if we're going to watch something together, we kind of commit together to it.
Okay.
And then we watch it as time permits, I guess. I don't know. I'm kind of limited too by when the show comes out. If a show comes out at a certain time, then we'll wait for it and stuff. But man, like a whole season?
Yeah.
Well, here's an example. There was a show that I wanted her to watch, and I wasn't sure she was going to watch it. And I said, just try one episode. And she watched it. She got hooked, and we watched the whole season like in one day.
Wow.
Which we never do that. But she came along the whole time.
Wow.
And I had already seen it. So maybe that's a little bit
different.
So
that's different, yeah. Because then you're not itching to watch the next episode.
Yeah.
Okay.
But man, that's a dilemma for
sure. It is
a
dilemma.
I'm not sure what I'd do.
Men, I say just wait. Just wait. Watch it with your wife. Watch it with your wife. That's what I'm going to say. And we are back with episode two.
Episode two. That means we are doubling our production here. This might be the only time we're able to double our production.
Hey, etch it down.
I can't believe it.
Well, we're recording this on a Sunday today, right?
It's
Sunday?
Yeah, it's Sunday. Mm-hmm.
What did you do today? How was your Sunday?
Man, I'm pretty lame, to be honest with you.
Probably not as lame
Sundays
as what I
did. Sundays are days of rest, so I definitely take a nap. A nap is a big part of the day.
I also took a nap today.
And I also, don't make fun of me, I got ready for Monday.
You got ready for Monday.
Yeah, I
on
got my
Sunday.
Stuff together
wow.
for tomorrow. I do things for my future self.
Okay. I don't.
That my future self appreciates later, but
I am no. The complete opposite. I don't do stuff, and then I regret not doing it, and I yell at myself by doing that. You took a nap, though? Did you watch the Cavs game?
I did, and I fell asleep.
I also did, like the third quarter.
That's exactly when I fell asleep. That was the third quarter. They started losing.
Yeah, and then I woke up to the next game that started, which I think is like which was the Lakers. Oh. And I was like, oh, I wonder what the Cavs won. And I looked, and they lost.
Yeah,
because I was sleeping.
And that's a rare thing these days. They're doing pretty well.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, hey, before we get to our interview for the day, I interviewed Stephanie, by the way.
So excited for
Fantastic.
This.
She had a great story. Great story. But before we get to that, we want to take a moment to talk about living in a small group family. Dan and I, we're part of a small group family here at Life Community Church. We mentioned this before. It's a really important part of our lives. I look forward to that meeting every week. And we want to explore the ups and downs of it, how we can get better at it. So, Dan, question for you. Why do we need to do this?
Wow. Well, in order to kind of understand that, that's a really long question to answer. But the origins, we have to kind of go back and look in the Bible at the origins of why the church started and why small group families are a part of the church today. So if we go back, we look, and before Jesus leaves this earth, he talks about building his church, and he sets his followers loose to share the gospel. And in Acts 2, the church starts to begin to come together as more and more people are choosing to follow Jesus and respond to his offer of his invitation of forgiveness. And we come to like one of the early moments is in Acts 2. And we're going to kind of unpack this over the next maybe couple episodes, just a little bit at a time. But it says in Acts 2:42 that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They were the people that had responded to Jesus, who had chosen to follow him, and collectively they made a decision to devote themselves to getting together, and that word is to the fellowship or to fellowship, and that word is actually koinonia in the Greek, and that refers to like a dynamic. It's like this devotion to deep, intimate fellowship and shared participation together among people who follow Jesus. So it was an interesting dynamic that happened in that early church. And so today, as we live that out, we think about, man, a small group family is a group of people who are devoted to this kind of deep, intimate fellowship and shared kind of participation together. Yeah, that's what it says. It says that they devoted themselves. So if that's the case, that we see that as a model in the early church, today, if we're going to be a part of a small group family, there's going to be an element of commitment that we have to make, a devotion that we have to have to it, and not just us, but the other people in the group too. So that's kind of an important principle, I think, because we can talk about what a small group family is and what it isn't, and what it isn't is just this meeting that happens for 2 hours during the week. It is actually a lifestyle that you live, to live in a family together and to care for one another and to devote yourself to this dynamic of shared fellowship. So it's pretty countercultural. We don't see that happen in our society a lot in terms of sharing life together. And honestly, our tendency, we think about it is, our tendency is to, when we have like a product or a class that's offered or something like that, we tend to evaluate it by like, what's it doing for us? What are we getting out of it? And if we're not getting things out of it, we decide, well, I don't think that's for me, right? But what I think God is asking for us here is this kind of devotion. And it's a devotion where effectiveness isn't measured in like an evening. It's not about an evening. It's about a dynamic that happens, and it's others centered. And if we want to experience true koinonia, we've got to devote ourselves to this process again and again. So we'll talk more next week about kind of what that looks like to devote and what was happening in that early church dynamic, because we want to get better at it. And it's going to take because we live in a culture the way it is, it's going to take a renewed mindset to invest in this and see it as an important part of living in life. So with that, we now turn to the interview of the day.
Again, yes, I was able to talk with Stephanie. Man, what a great story. Great story. A lot of good stuff there. So I'm excited to share. I'm excited to share with y'all.
That's great. So here's Brian's interview with Stephanie.
We are here with Stephanie. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Good.
How are you?
I'm good. Hey, you are our first guest. You know that?
That I'm
the first one.
I'm honored.
Yes.
And yes. Nervous.
No. What are you nervous about?
Speaking into a microphone.
Is this your first time talking into a microphone?
I'm
going to rephrase that. Is this your first time talking into a podcast microphone? Yeah.
Yes, for sure.
Well, you and I were talking earlier a little bit. The premise of this podcast, Conversations in Community, is what we call it. Nice. And it is a conversation. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times, especially for me growing up in church, I mentioned this on the last episode, I did not have any sort of community. It was all structure-based. You show up Sundays, you went to church, mm-hmm. you left. Mm-hmm. That was it. Came here. Life Community Church is where we're at, west mm-hmm. side of Columbus, Ohio, and this is all we're about, community, and I love it. And so it got me thinking, let's branch out, talk to other people in the body. Let's get their stories. So I'm here with Stephanie, as I said. So I'll be honest, I don't know a lot about you.
I don't know a lot about you. I know your wife and I like her.
Yes, and that's what I was going to say. My wife loves you. I've known you for a very long time. I don't know a lot about you.
Yeah.
So can you just tell me a little bit about like where you grew up and like what your childhood was like?
Sure.
What your childhood was like, I should say.
I was born in New Jersey, actually. My dad was working in New York City at the time. When I was 5, his job moved us to Columbus. So from as long as I can remember, I grew up in Dublin, Ohio, and I don't know what to tell you. I have 3 siblings.
Okay.
I'm the 3rd of 4. My brother's the oldest, and then 3 girls. And we're all spread out now, but we're very close to each other.
You keep in contact still?
We do, yeah. My sister was just in town, actually, to celebrate her birthday.
What do they do?
My sister does nonprofit work. She lives out in Seattle.
Wow.
My brother does film work. He just moved to Portland, Oregon. And then my younger sister works in a middle school as kind of like an advocate for middle school students. She'll do like tutoring and counseling kind of things.
Do you see them often? I know you said your sister was just here.
I do. I see my younger sister a lot because she lives here. We're good buddies. My older sister and my older brother, I probably see them once or twice a year at this point.
Okay.
I wish it was more. They wish it was more.
Yeah.
But,
when you're spread out West Coast, East Coast.
Yeah. It's hard.
So Jersey. You grew up
in Jersey.
Well, I guess till 5.
Yeah. I don't remember a thing.
No accent, clearly.
No, I don't have any. No, I'm Midwestern. Oh. Yeah. We actually, my sisters and I were just talking while my sister Sarah was in town. We were like, we got the best of it because we're like Midwestern without being too Midwestern because our parents were not from the Midwest.
Oh,
does that make sense?
Okay. Do your parents have the accent?
No. My dad predominantly grew up in Texas and my mom grew up in Arizona. So we're like, we get to live in the Midwest and enjoy the Midwest without like
being winter in the morning.
I forget what it was. Someone
afternoon.
Mentioned some traditional Midwestern food and we were like, what? We have never eaten that in our life.
Midwestern
I don't know what
food?
It was. Yes.
Is that a thing?
Probably.
What did they say? Do you remember?
I don't remember. It was like
PB&J.
Corn beef. Okay. What was it? Slaw, something.
Coleslaw?
I don't know.
Probably. Coleslaw, that sounds right.
But
that sounds right.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Jersey, Dublin. You're married, right?
I'm married.
Married. You got 3 kids.
We have 3 kids. The oldest is 5. The youngest is 9 months. So
wow.
We live in a constant state of joyful chaos.
Yes. It sounds chaotic. Run me through a typical day.
A typical day.
Yeah. Run me through a day.
I'll tell you a preschool day. I get the kids up at like 7:30. I get them ready and out the door by 8:45. Drop them off at school by 9 a.m. I go to Bible study with your wife.
Yeah.
I go to Bible study. I leave Bible study at 11:15. I pick my daughter up at 11:30. I pick my son up at 1 o'clock.
So how long do you have like alone? like I know you said you had a 9-month-old, but how long do you have like time to yourself?
If they're at school, I have like Thursdays. The older two will be at school. And the youngest is at home with me, and I can put her down for a nap, and I can get like an hour of quiet time. And then in the afternoons when everybody's home, we do 2 hours of quiet time, which is not foolproof.
Yeah.
But usually the younger two will nap relatively at the same time, and the oldest will play in his room.
Wow.
Until like he really needs help separating Legos, you know, because 5-year-old fingers.
Those flat pieces. Yes, those flat pieces, let me tell you.
So for the most part, I get a good chunk of afternoon.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good. I can only imagine because my wife and I don't have any kids yet, but I've enjoyed watching other like friends here raise their kids.
Yeah.
And it's just, as you said, it's just chaos. It's but it's controlled. It's controlled chaos, and I was
hopefully.
Yeah. Well, I was talking to a couple friends, and they were I've been watching them raise their kid who just started to walk recently.
Yeah,
and it's been funny to watch them go from following them every step of the way
mm-hmm.
to now it's like, they'll find their way back. So
we very much adopted the shake it off parenting.
Yeah.
You know, where like our kid falls and we don't react right away. We're just like, yeah, you're good.
All yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, cool. Well, hey, like I said, one of the big premises of this conversation is I want to hear your faith journey. I want to hear how you came to Christ, how you came to this form of community here. So I guess I'm going to start it off. What is your first recollection of God? When were you like, oh, that's God? Maybe you don't even know, or maybe it's later than you think it was. But yeah, run me through your first recollection of when you thought of God.
I have this very strong memory. I feel like it sounds laughable. I'm just going to start with that. I feel like it sounds laughable, but I've talked to my mom about it even as an adult. I don't know. I really don't know. But I remember being at the pool. I feel so silly sharing this. I was at the pool with my family, and I remember looking up at the sky.
Yeah.
And in my childhood mind, I saw Jesus on a cloud waving at me with a rainbow over him. And I have no idea.
Just the most.
Was that just a picture that God gave me? But it has stuck with me. And my mom has been like, what a gift, you know?
How
like,
old were you?
I was probably like 6 or 7.
Okay.
It's funny. I just have that image in my head.
It's just
of like,
vivid.
Like, what a wonderful God that would see me as a child and wave to me.
And be like, I'm here.
Like,
I'm going to be here.
I see you. And you're my daughter.
Yeah.
And I see you. Yeah. I don't know. So I just kind of have that picture. And I feel like that's kind of like.
Yeah.
So honestly, I don't know what that was. Like, did I dream it? Was it actually?
Right.
You know,
well, what I was going to ask, were you raised in a Christian household?
I was. I was raised in a Christian household, predominantly Lutheran. My parents, my mom was Lutheran. Then my dad was Catholic. They got married, became Catholic. I was baptized Catholic. But from about 5 years old, I've been like raised Lutheran.
Yeah. And then you came to LCC when?
2018. So after married,
okay.
I've dabbled in churches.
Yeah, did the church shopping.
Yeah,
the classic church
so
shopping.
So I grew up Lutheran. I left, went to college in Texas, and was part of what's the word? Like charismatic kind of like Baptist roots church.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Okay,
very different from being Lutheran.
Yeah.
Did
you go to school in Texas?
I did.
Where'd you go?
Went to Baylor.
Baylor University.
I did.
Wow. Did you meet Chip and Joanna?
No, they started literally right after I graduated.
Of course, naturally.
They're like the silos.
Yeah.
The silos.
Oh, we've been there.
They
in Waco?
They were so run down, and my friends and I, like, is this am I going to get in trouble for saying this? I like hopped the fence and climbed on top of these silos while I was in college. Why not? And then I graduate, I leave. All of a sudden, Chip and Joanna have taken my silos. Not mine. They're not mine.
Did you write them? You should have wrote them a strongly worded letter.
Excuse me, Joanna.
You did not ask for my permission.
No, but Waco totally like blew up after I left.
Yeah. Okay. Wow, Baylor.
It's cool to know.
That's cool.
Yeah. Cool to see that it's gotten so much more popular.
Yeah, nice. So we talked about your first recollection of God. When do you think a relationship started to form there with you and God? When do you remember something like that?
Yeah, I said, I've grown up in the church. So mm-hmm. I did like Sunday school and mm-hmm. I was baptized as a baby. I did confirmation like 10th grade, I think.
That sounds about right. Mine was early. I did mine in like middle school when I was confirmed.
Okay.
It was 7th grade, I think.
What kind of Lutheran church did you grow up in?
It was Lutheran. A Lutheran church. We had like first communion and then confirmation. It was like 2 years. I think that was middle school. 7th, mm-hmm. 8th grade maybe?
Mine was like 10th grade.
Okay.
And I remember being on this confirmation retreat, and they asked us to write a statement of faith. And I remember feeling like, okay, tell me what to write because I don't know.
Yeah.
Right? Later on, summer before my senior year of high school, this was totally the Lord, just totally the Lord, because I've never heard of this before. I had a friend invite me on like a real life getaway retreat.
Okay.
Real life is like Campus Crusade
high school. Oh yeah, version, yeah, I've heard of them. Okay, yeah.
I think I don't even know. Like, I don't know how I ended up on this trip, but I ended up on this trip. It was a week at the beach, like a Christian conference type of thing. Michael actually was there. My husband was there.
Wow.
We never interacted, but he was on the same trip. So weird. But I remember these kids who have come from, I don't mean this to sound negative, but like a very straight-laced Lutheran church, right? These kids I've grown up with were on this trip, and 10th Avenue North was the band for the week, and they're playing. And I'm looking at these kids that I've grown up going to church with, and they are worshiping the Lord. Like, their hands are in the air. They're singing to the Lord. They're just very expressive. I'm like right before senior year of high school.
Wow.
And I just remember looking around and thinking, this is like when I said yes to the Lord. I remember looking around this concert at these people my age worshiping God and thinking, okay, you are not who I thought you were. Like, God, whatever this is, I want that with you. Like, I want that sort of relationship where I worship you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's when everything kind of started rolling for me.
What a cool story.
Yeah.
That's a very vulnerable age, too.
Yeah.
Senior year of high school, of being that hands-open worship. I mean, that's cool to hear.
Yeah.
That's cool to hear. Hey, you're in a small group family. Mm-hmm. Here at Life Community.
Yes.
You guys meet Wednesdays? When do you meet?
Yes, Wednesdays.
Wednesdays? Tell me about your small group family. What are the people like in there?
They're wonderful.
Yeah. How many is it?
Funny.
How many?
Fun. How many is it? 12. 12 people.
Okay. They all married with kids? Every different aspects of life?
Part, yeah. Okay. All married. Almost all have kids. John and Krista co-lead with Michael and me, but really I feel like they should get all the credit, because when we started this group, it was with the hope that young marrieds could have I'm not gonna say older a couple who is more mature in their marriage to guide us with Jesus in our marriage.
You could say older.
Older.
We have older couples as well.
Don't tell them I said John and Krista, don't listen.
Dan and Laura, don't listen.
So it's John and Krista and all of us who hope that our marriage looks like John and Krista's someday.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's awesome. Yeah, because we're also part of a small group family, and it's been really cool to, for the most part, meet these complete strangers on week one. And I don't know how many years or months you all have been meeting, but me and my group, we've been meeting for Well, really, since my wife and I have come here, I mean, it's been, what, 5-6 years now? And mm-hmm. just from going from complete strangers to, like, some of the closest friends, brothers and sisters in Christ that we have, do you feel the same way with these people?
I do, yeah.
And how long have you guys been meeting now?
I think it's been, like, 4 years.
For those that aren't watching or that don't know, the lights just turned off because we've been sitting here not moving, and we're, it's motion sensor, so we both just got up and started waving. So that's what that was.
And we're back.
And scene. All right, we're back. So small group family. I don't remember. Small group family, Wednesday nights, you guys meet. Run me through your meeting. What do you guys usually do?
Oh, you asked me how long. It's been like 3 or 4 years.
3 or 4 years now. And what do you guys normally do?
We kind of go back and forth. We'll do like Sunday group notes some weeks. Sometimes we'll start a series and we'll, you know, mm-hmm. go through a series. Right now, there's a couple in our group who asked us if we would be interested in doing this story of God where we go through the Bible as if we've never read it before.
Wow.
And we read a passage and we only talk about like we'll read the creation story and we only talk about what we are currently reading as if we have no idea what's coming.
Like your first time reading it.
Yeah. And it's really cool. So we're doing that right now. So we usually we'll get together 7:30-ish, we'll hang out, start our time together at 8, we'll sit down, we'll do some discussion. We're working to pray more mm-hmm. as a group. Not so much like open our discussion time in prayer and end it in prayer, but like, can we sit and pray ongoing, taking turns, almost like trying to conquer the awkwardness of it and just be vulnerable and be willing to sit in the Spirit and pray together. Mm-hmm. So that's been really cool.
Yeah.
Just to learn how to do that more and like choose to be vulnerable and find comfort there rather than choosing to avoid it because it's awkward.
Yeah. Or think of the awkward or think of the time. We've done that in our group a couple times where we, set a timer for like 5 or 10 minutes and we just were silent in the word or praying. And I got to tell you, sometimes it's the longest 10 minutes of my life.
It can be.
I don't know how it goes so slow, mm-hmm. but I've been trying to work on that same thing. So it's cool to see, it's cool to hear that other groups are doing that too. And that's, it's good that I'm not alone in that. And I know that you guys aren't alone in that as well.
Yeah.
Cool. You're a stay-at-home mom right now, aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, three kids. That would be kind of tough. What did you do prior to being a stay-at-home mom?
Prior to being a stay-at-home mom, I was a personal trainer for people 50 and older.
Okay.
And I taught yoga with biblical meditation.
You do that for a retreat that our youth group goes on.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Mm-hmm. I've done it. They've asked me to do it 3 times now.
Yeah, my wife raves about it. She raves about it. She's like, you gotta talk to her about this because it's incredible. So what exactly is that?
I just have to say, this yoga thing, like God has asked me to do a thing that I actually think is so cool. And I just love that. I'm like, God, you've asked me to serve you in a way that I actually really enjoy.
And it's so unique.
It is unique.
Like what exactly, just educate me a little bit on it. Sure. What is, because I have yoga in my head and mm-hmm. I have Bible study in my head.
Sure.
How does it get
meshed? So it's biblical meditation.
Meditation. Sorry.
Not so much study.
Okay.
If that helps.
It does.
A little bit. So I really enjoy yoga. I don't so much enjoy a lot of the typical intentions that are set with yoga. Mm-hmm. I don't want to pick on it or anything, but a lot of times you'll hear like I am enough, or I am my own light, or like things like that, or like connecting with other people through the universe, right? I really love yoga as a way to connect with God. Mm-hmm. So for me, what it looks like is I'm not enough, right? Like, we as humans are not enough, and we mm-hmm. need the blood of Jesus to make us enough. So using yoga to come before the Lord and use my physical body, my mind, my spirit to take a passage of scripture and to set my mind on that passage of scripture. And then as I move through yoga flow, different postures that I can worship through these postures, right? A lot of them are very humbling. A lot of these postures are exalting. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I use yoga to just set my mind on scripture and on the Lord. And then as I go through these postures, I am worshiping.
Yeah. How do you lead that? Are you telling people a pose, or telling people, like, are you reading a scripture prior and then during the... As you can see, I know nothing about this.
That's okay.
So does that mean, like, you go over a scripture and you use your session as a meditation on that specific scripture?
Yeah.
But you're still, I'm using air quotes here, working out and doing yoga?
Yes.
Okay.
So what I would do is we start in like a meditative posture. So seated or on your back or in a child's pose, which is where you're like kneeling with your forehead on the ground.
Okay.
Thank
you for explaining that.
You're welcome.
I did not know what that
child's
meant.
Child's pose. Child's pose. Put my yoga voice on. So we start in like a meditative posture, and I will read a scripture. One of my favorites is when Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary."
Mm.
And heavy laden, I will give you rest. That's one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. So I might read that scripture and then maybe talk about it a little bit. Maybe just read that scripture, say, just let that sink in.
Yeah.
Bring your mind before the Lord. And then I might pray. And then I start teaching yoga.
Oh, do you revisit the verse throughout?
I do, yeah. Okay. So yoga is, there's no like right or wrong way,
right.
But usually I'll do like a sun salutation as a warm up and then move into like more of like the flow for the class, some stronger postures, and then we'll work balance. We'll do like a couple of meditative postures in between to just stop and come back to that passage. So I might teach a sun salutation and have everyone end standing.
Okay.
And say, I'll read that scripture again. Maybe say something about it. Come back to your breath. Move into this flow.
I'm not even doing this, and I feel transfixed right now.
It's so soothing.
Yeah.
And it really, I have taught it like, you know, pandemic years. Like I tried teaching it on Zoom.
Yeah. Not the same.
It's not the same. Like to have like the youth retreat, to have 20, 30 people in a room together who are all moving together, breathing together, meditating together, worshiping together. It is powerful.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Is it always a group setting, or is it more, you said you were a personal trainer, so is it more one-on-one, or is it multiple at a time? And is it different?
I haven't really done it one-on-one other than like to practice for teaching the youth retreat when I haven't taught in like a year, right?
Yeah.
So so usually it's a class. And what I used to do pre-kids, before I had my kids, I taught at the Lutheran church that I grew up in. Michael and I would go together. They gave us a room in the basement. I would set up like Christmas lights and music, you know, and I would teach a class of like 5 to 15 people, depending on the week. And I would do this every Monday.
Wow.
Some LCCers used to go to it.
Yeah.
And I loved it so much.
It's such a niche thing.
It's so, like it's I said, like, specific... God, thank you for asking me to do something that I think is so cool.
Yeah. Are people usually pretty easily receptive to this? Like if they go in with like not knowing... Much like me, not knowing at all what to expect. Do they leave there, like, from what you can tell, like, wow, that was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I think for the most part, yes. Mm-hmm. I have encountered
somebody being like
people who feel like yoga and Jesus don't go together. And I think, I don't know the words, but there are passages mm-hmm. in scripture that talk about like don't cause other people to stumble, right?
Right.
So like there are people who are just uncomfortable with it, and I've encountered that and tried to approach it with grace and love.
Yeah.
But I personally feel for myself and for the people who have come to my class and enjoyed it, like it's a useful tool to move closer to the Lord.
So, well, just like with anything else, right? The devil tries to weasel his way into anything, no matter how good it might be. So
right.
it's cool to see that you don't let that get to you, because or maybe you do and you just do a really good job of hiding it.
Yeah.
But that's really cool that you do that. Like
thanks.
I said, I know my wife raves about it every year at the youth retreat. She goes, Stephanie's going to lead that yoga class again. I'm so excited for it.
I love it.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome.
Thanks.
Hey, I got one last question for you.
Sure.
And I think it's you might not even know the answer to it right now.
Okay.
But maybe something to think about. If you look back to when you were younger, what is one thing you wish you could have told yourself?
I feel like
I'm catching her off guard with this question.
That's okay.
I did not send her this question.
There's just a lot of things I would have told my younger self. So, yeah, it's easy. No. I think my younger self, I think confidence has always been something I've struggled with. And only since like my mid-20s have I recognized it and put words to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like my younger self, I probably, it feels kind of silly to say, but like there are times where I won't reach out to someone because I think I will be bothering them.
Oh.
Does
that
make sense?
Yes.
Rather than thinking outside of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking people want to be seen and known and loved.
Yeah.
So even if I think I might be bothering them, isn't it better to reach out and say, "Hey, I'm thinking of you. How are you?" Right? Like,
yeah.
Even like my cousins, I haven't talked to my cousins in so long because I'm like, oh, they don't want to hear from me, you know, like I'll just be bothering them.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
like, well, that's dumb.
Right.
Like what if their view of that is like,
they don't care about
wow,
me. You don't care
Steph
about
doesn't
me.
Care about me at all. She's so
yeah.
like involved in herself. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like why not reach out to people and
sure.
tell them that you love them or I don't know. I think there are a lot of versions of that.
Yeah.
That I,
so
like
be,
my
take
former
that,
self.
Take that next step.
Yes, I would have told myself, like, basically, this sounds harsh, but like, basically get over yourself. Like, don't be afraid of what people think of you. Not everyone's going to like you, and that's fine. But
mm-hmm.
like, make the step of making people feel loved without worrying what they think.
Wow.
I feel like that's
very
probably
well
what I
very
would love
very well
to.
Said, yeah. Are you where you thought you'd be, like, 10, 15 years ago?
I am.
Really?
But I don't think I took the route that I thought I would take, if that makes sense. Like, I have always, always wanted to be a mom.
Uh-huh.
My mom told me that when I was in, like, first or second grade, we had to write in school, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I wrote that I wanted to be a mom. She said there was, like, a student teacher or a substitute teacher who said, that's not a real job. You have to write something else. And my mom was so mad.
Wow. Being a mom is not a real job.
Right. Yeah. My
no,
mom
being
was
a dad
so mad.
Is not, no,
my
I'm
mom
kidding.
Like called the school, or maybe she said she wanted to call the school. I don't know. But I just, this is what I've always wanted to do. And it's cool to see, like, I've gotten to walk some other walks throughout it.
Yeah.
And even as a mom, there are things that have come up where I'm like, oh, I never thought I would be like that
mm-hmm.
as a mom,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. Do you see characteristics of your parents in you?
I do.
Yeah. Good or bad?
Both.
Both. Yeah.
Both. I'm going to say both.
Good answer.
Also,
we'd be honest.
Also, Michael, I see his parents in him when he's parenting. Like, his dad is so chill, so calm.
Yeah.
Michael never raises his voice ever. And it's annoying. I'm like, can you just like,
not even
I
once.
Yell.
Not even once.
Not even.
A dad raising his voice is arguably the scariest thing on planet Earth. So he's never raised.
But it's also like stereotypical. Like, yeah, I'm like, true. Why don't you, like, I yell. Yeah. So it would make me feel better about
myself.
My sins. If you and myself would also if yell. You would just, every once in a while, just yell. It's fine.
Just scream at the kid, yeah. Please. Just scream at the kid. That's all I want.
I never thought I would be, like, the yelling parent.
Mm-hmm.
But I am.
Hey, that's someone's got to be.
That's my confession.
Someone's got to be.
Into
okay.
This microphone.
Hey, that's okay. Well, Stephanie, thanks for being a good sport. Again, yeah. Thanks for being the first guest. A lot more that we could unpack for sure. But yeah. I feel as I hope everybody listening as well feels like they know you a lot more because I've known you for many years.
Yeah.
But I didn't really know you. So this was kind of cool to hear your story and thanks for joining us here. And we'll see you guys next time for our next conversation in community.